and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is January the 23rd, 2019. It is a Wise Wednesday. Sister Davis and Brother Davis will be hosting today's show after we get into what's in the news for today. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the number to call in and actually if you have a question or comment. But before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. What's up, my man Raj? And hit the donation prompt there so that Black Talk Radio Network can stay on air. You can also support the network by being a part of its social media platform known as BTR Community. You can find that at www.btrcommunity.com. And once you are there, become a member for only $24 a year. That will actually support the network, keep it on air, and very, very important that we do that. You can also please definitely support this network, so needed. Also, if you would like to exchange your cash for real money, you can do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your overall slave wage of debt for the wage of a king and a queen, which is silver, and the wage of a lady and a gentleman is gold, and the wage of a slave is debt. Exchange that for your overall for real money. Very, very important going forward, and you'll see why. Okay, Scotty, just before we went on air, I knew about celebrity figurehead Pence and the U.S. government actively trying to destabilize Venezuela through protests. I think we posted some of about it there, but but I didn't know that protest was going to be as massive as it was. Scotty just let me know about it. So we posted a little something there inside of the What's in the News thread inside of Tando Radio Show's thread in BTR out. Sister Davis, I know it's here. Wise Wednesdays with Brother and Sister Davis. Okay, let me just pull this up really quickly, and let me just say this. I will not be on the board, so I won't be. If you have a question or comment for Brother or Sister Davis, just 704-802-5056. Just say, excuse me, and ask your question, and Brother and Sister Davis be more than happy to oblige your overall question. Okay, here we go. What's the news? Major, major stuff here, folks. And it's major, major, major stuff going on here. So let me just set this up real quick. Let me make sure, because sometimes I make a mistake of not refreshing and don't want to do that. I've been known to do that. So let me just hit this real quickly, make sure I got all of what's in the news there. And hold on 1 second. Okay. So there you go. Today's show, of course, is Wise Wednesday with Brother and Sister Davis. And we are, let me just hit this, and we are going to get going. My man Roz, call me today. Wanted to talk to you real quick, when you can, when you have some availability. All right. So, all right, let me trying to get everything pulled up here. Daggone it. And it will, okay, cool. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. First article. This one comes from CNBC, criminals, nothing but criminals news. Dow snaps a four-day winning streak as fears of an economic slowdown intensifies. Check out that article. And my man, Ty Focus, I don't know as well, bro, why you're not able to get the downloads for Tando. Try in YouTube. Maybe that would help. I'm not quite
no, sure. No, we don't distribute the YouTube anymore. I don't distribute to any outside platforms. The only one might be TuneIn.
There we go.
But,
TuneIn, my brother.
But there should be no problem. I mean, just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. The website didn't change. There's a section over there that says search member content. It's a drop-down menu. Click on that, look for Tando Radio Show, click on Tando Radio Show, it'll pull up all the archives.
There you go. Thank you, Scotty. And I was going to, because I wasn't quite sure, because some, you know, wasn't quite sure, so glad Scotty was there too, as Scotty's always here. There it is. So just go to TuneIn, and it's there, and then you can go to, as Scotty said, follow those directions, and you'll be good to go. All right. Here we go. Next article from Sputnik News. This is very, very important, everyone, because this overall global war paradigm is really, really, really ramping up. Sputnik News, Turkish forces strike Kurdish YPG positions in Syria. And this is going to expand, and this is going to be the overall excuse for the U.S. military to stay and not only stay in Syria, but to actually broaden their overall involvement in Syria in their invasion of the sovereign nation of Syria. So check out that article. There's a lot of borders that are being actually compromised, which on a global scale, so this is where you have World War III that is going to continue there. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Oil-rich Iran cannot be barred from the global energy market. So true. Can't do it. So what are they basically saying? That the U.S. overall dollar hegemony and influence and sanctions and everything else has lost its sting because it's no longer relative or adhered to. Very, very important, which means a lot for you. Means that your overall, the overall everyday economy for you and I is going to crash completely for our overall standard of living and quality of life. Be prepared. Next article from South China Morning Post. The president of celebrity figurehead president of China. Move this down real quick. Xi Jinping has issued a rally cry, but what is it that China is on alert for? More destabilization like they're trying to do in Venezuela is my overall assessment, and that's what I think is really going to really step up. And Xi Jinping is going to have to definitely deal with that. And believe me, they're prepared for it, and they're going to have a response, an equal and probably even more overt response to that. And believe me, the overall usual suspects, the U.S. being at the forefront, being the overall target and the adversary and the aggressor there. Check out that article. Next article from New York Times, China's economy by the numbers is worse than it looks. Yes, that's the whole global economy. Next article. This one is very, very critical. This comes from, move this down, from SANA, which stands for Syrian Arab News Agency. From Syrian Arab News Agency. The return of the Golan to Syria's sovereignty is firm, not negotiable, is not a not negotiable right. Yesterday, the overall representative for Syria went to the UN Security Council and said, why are you allowing Israel to attack our country? And they're only able to get away with it because the U.S., France, and Britain are allowing them to do it. But this is what they said. They basically said that since Israel is now attacking Damascus Airport, that they will, in return, will start attacking Israel, Tel Aviv Airport.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
So why not just turn on them S-400s and shoot them planes down? That would be the most logical response in defending your own airspace. You got them S-400s. Turn them on.
Yep. And they're using them now, as Scotty said, they're using them now mainly to intercept the overall missiles. And at some point, at some time, it's going to, and as Scotty said, they're going to turn it on, and they're going to, not only are they going to shoot down Israeli planes, they're actually going to engage the overall platforms that the missiles are coming from, meaning they're going to have missile barrages going into Israel. So that's what they were saying yesterday at the UN Security Council and made that known. So it is definitely coming. And that is going to expand this overall confrontation into a global conflict. Next article from Strategic Culture. Israeli criminality harbors in Syria, invites a catastrophe. Israeli criminal hubris in Syria invites a catastrophe. Israeli forces have shifted from a doctrine of war by stealth to openly declare aggression on its northern neighbor, Syria. For two straight days, the Israeli bombardiers bombarded Syria's capital, Damascus, as it is erosion with... And so that's what it was. And that comes from Strategic Culture. This is definitely going to expand this with Turkey and what's going on in the Ukraine and Venezuela, South Sea of China, Korean Peninsula. Oh, man, all of this is coming to a full-blown head and is going to expand even further. Next article from Reuters. Shutdown enters 33rd day with no break in sight as Senate, it doesn't know what it says, it stops there. Now, I'm going to tell you, in my overall opinion, this has nothing to do with a fence or a wall or the borders. The dynamics of what's really happening, that's the overall excuse. The dynamics of what's really happening, in my opinion, and I hope that I'm wrong, and my opinion is much greater than that, because if I'm right, that means the overall window to prepare, the opportunity to prepare, is maybe and is getting into a point where it is going to seal. Just before you have an airtight seal, there is a sucking sound that you have. And that's what we are in now, in my opinion. Check out that article. Next article, it goes to RT International. Trump is a Russian stooge, yet he is preparing for a space war with Russia. Stoogey. So check out that. Wasn't just celebrity figurehead Trump that was preparing for a space war with Russia. Obama was, and all of the other, all the way back to Reagan. That was over the overall. So it wasn't just Trump. It's been happening by these celebrity figureheads for a very, very long time. So check that out. And that's, and actually it was Reagan that really kind of, no, it actually goes back to Eisenhower. But Reagan was the one that, no, yeah, Eisenhower. Eisenhower and Kennedy as well. So very, very, very significant there. So check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Russian President Putin, his Turkish counterpart Erdogan, hold a joint press conference. They call a presser. So check out that, because the alliance is steadfast now. The overall NATO is broken. It's completely been annihilated. Check out that article. Next article from Bloomberg. This one is Asian stocks set for decline as Treasury's earnings rally fades as growth anxiety lingers in the market wrap. So from yes, check that out. And that's in regards of the up and down market and how that is going to. I never really, the economy is not based off the market. The market is based off of corporate gambling. So check out that. Next article from RT International. Here it is. Syria threatens to strike Tel Aviv airport unless the UN Security Council acts against Israel. Impunity. So check this out. It is definitely going to happen, and it's not going to stop. It's going to go all into full-fledged because now Syria says they want the golden back, and so which is rightfully theirs. And so that is going to be a fight, and Iran is full-fledged in it and is going to continue to fall apart. Next article from Lying Like a Fox News, from Politics. Cortez calls climate change. Let me pull this up. Cortez calls climate change our World War II, warns the world will end in 12 years because of climate change. Really, really, I just say nuts, okay? Just nuts. And next article, this Scotty had hit me to this. Venezuelans to protest against Nicolas Maduro. This comes from the Miami Herald. And this is all being, this is a PSYOP or an operative mission of the United States. Remember that they had was trying to actually intervene in a humanitarian way. They give you all the excuses, but what they were trying to do was having a coup in Venezuela. The U.S. actually, celebrity figurehead Trump asked some of the South American countries if they would support if the U.S. had invaded because of humanitarian reasons inside of Venezuela. So if they didn't get that, then what they were going to do, that they were going to invoke a coup, which is illegal. And this calling for this coup is definitely destabilizing. And I'm going to tell you, China and Russia is not going to let that happen. So that is the overall war in our backyard that is going to turn into the overall confines of the home itself, where we stay. So very important there. Stay up on the news. Need to be well aware of it because it is very, very significant. So with that being said, we're going to turn it over to Brother Davis and Sister Davis. Let me unmute Brother Davis and Sister Davis, and we're going to jump into Wise Wednesday. Brother Davis, Sister Davis, are you there?
I'm here. Sister Davis is here.
Okay. Brother Davis, you...
He might not... Do you see his number 717 in there?
I did... Oops. One second, Sister Davis. No. I don't... I thought I did earlier, just before we went into the overall... into what's in the news in the start of the show. So, no, I don't see Brother Davis there, so... We're going to start. Go ahead.
He might come back on because he's it's very intermittent by Wi-Fi and connection out here. Well, I want to say welcome to everybody on the Tando Show. This is a Wise Wednesday with Team B. I'm part of the team, but I'm the B part. The A part is working, so we'll see if he jumps in. Of course, it's feast or famine. You know, it's kind of are seems to be happening from time to time. You know,
right.
We sit at home sometimes and we'd be perfect to be on the phone, but then when he has to be on the phone, there's an issue. But hopefully before the time is up, he will be jumping in. But I do want to say that it's been an interesting week. It's we're still trotting along with our farm here and getting used to things at basic level, and because that's what we have here, basic level. every week I'm on this phone personally, or on the show, I would love to encourage everybody that if you're drinking bottled water, take that bottle and reuse it. You can use your own tap water, or if you want to do a downspout and, you know, unhook it a little bit so you can put the water that's from the rain into a bucket or a container and use that as a water source and refill those bottles. Because one thing I noticed that here on the farm, water is essential. Even though I already knew water was essential, when you have to carry your own water, and I mean in a bucket, a container, or whatever, from point A to point B, water has a brand new value. And I want to encourage everybody every week to stay up on, you know, collecting water. If you have old containers at the house, and say you have a container that has orange juice, wash it out at the end, put it in a little safe place somewhere, and then if you want to collect rainwater, now that's free water, because if you use your own water out the spigot, you ultimately have to pay for that. Now, we always did collect our spigot water in a container. For example, until your water turns hot, if you want to, let's just say you want to wash dishes, and until your water turns hot on the cold spigot, you can collect about a gallon each time you do that, or at least almost a gallon till your water runs hot. You can collect that, put that aside, make your hot water, your dish water, and continue. Then have that water that's in a container, you can refill that into other bottles or other containers. So that's free because you already need it to run for hot water. But if you have a downspout, now in some states in the union here, if they catch you collecting water from you could be fined for that. Yes, it is, but there are several states that if they catch you actually doing that, they can give you a fine. But if it's in the back of your house or in just some, you know, you can kind of maybe put just that. Because one thing you don't want is I want to flush that water down the sink or washing or bathing, because that precious that's in a bottle, you're going to want to drink that, and then you want to have some excess water for all your rinsing and that type of thing. And please, while you're right now, ain't much going on, that's something you could tell the kids that they can do. Store up your plastic bottles, and then once a week or once a month or whatever, go and refill that with standing water that's around. Believe me, it's worth its weight in gold. And I will suggest that every week I'm on the show, because it's vital. Then if you have to use that water to drink after all of your drinking water is gone, guess what? You can still drink it. So, you know, I'm just telling you that I see so much value in everything we do. I see so much value with every day the sun shines and it perhaps isn't raining or perhaps isn't cloudy or stormy. And I always did value the rain and value the sunshine. But when you're in this type of environment, you really have to put every value on everything. And this particular area that we live in South Carolina, it's been raining. I know it's been, they said on the news, it's been raining every weekend since the beginning of October, except 2 weekends so far. The Saturday before Christmas, it was kind of bright out, a little bit of rain toward the end of the day. And then we had another weekend, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before that, it was blue skies for 2 whole days, just no clouds in the sky. And people were so excited because, of course, now you might have some sunny days in the middle of the week, but a lot of people, they do things on the weekend or yard sales or whatever, and you're depending on the weather. And this is a first in the South Carolina area. Well, North Carolina, South Carolina, kind of the whole East Coast is really saturated with water or snow or extreme cold. Over the last 2 nights, I think it was the temperature was in the like 19 or 20, and it was below that with the chill factor. And you have to understand here, we're pretty much off the, well, we are off the grid. I ain't gonna say pretty much. We are off the grid. We use a generator for heat and electricity, and we also use propane. And that's an adventure in itself. Over the weekend, we had been using those smaller propane containers like you would use for a gas grill. And last week, a friend of ours who is a neighbor that helps us out a lot, she knew a gentleman who had a 100-pound type propane container that holds like 100. It's 100 pounds or 100 pounds of pressure, but it stands about 4 feet tall and round. And that was an adventure getting that home, getting it filled, getting the attachments that go with that, because it's not the same attachments that go with the smaller grill, with the smaller propane container. And that's just things that you have to invest in. You have some knowledge involved. I thought they all were the same. I didn't know there was a different valve. And then we had to go to town and get the valve, and going to town is like 20 miles. And around here in this area, we're used to a metropolitan area where all the stores are open on Sunday. Well, guess what? In this area, these little mom and pops, they are closed on Sunday. It is wicked trying to find a place. Unless you go to Walmart or all the way into town to those type of shopping areas, they close every Sunday, and they usually close about midday on Saturday. And it's something to get used to, because before you just run and do what you got to do, don't worry about the time as long as it's not past 9 or 10 in the evening. But here you have to schedule what you're doing. You have to know in advance what you're doing. If it's going to cost you to go into town, you better make a list and get everything you need while you're there, if you have the finances to cover it. Because that going back and forth to town, it isn't just the gasoline that costs. It's the time consumption that costs. Because here at the farm, you really got to, there's something to do all every day. Every day when you wake up, we haven't really done a lot of farming with the planting yet. We're still in the stages of getting everything set through the RV and all of the generator and the propane. It's that kind of stuff. Then eventually, you know, then you got to, you know, cook. I got to cook every day, because guess what? We don't have the conveniences of a fast food. Now, we stop that anyway, but some days it would be nice to order a pizza maybe. I don't really eat pizzas that much, but when you're home on a farm and in this environment, you have to cook, you know, because it's cheaper, of course, to have the fruits and vegetables. So, you know, I have to team that up with the time frame that the generator's on. Like right now I have the generator on because I wanted to use my computer and keep my cell phone charged and stuff. And right now I'm cooking dinner because it's in my electric skillet or electric crock pot. So I'm cooking dinner early, and then after the show, usually in the midday part of the day, I turn the generator off because I'm doing busy work, and there's plenty of sunshine. So, well, it's not sunny, but it's light, and I do other things, you know. And then by the time Brother Davis gets home in the evening, and it's starting to get dark, and the temperature's going down, then we put the generator on for a couple of hours. So you got to watch your time frame. So it's very valuable. So you maximize everything you're doing. And we were ready for that. We knew that was what was going to happen. But now that we're actually doing the walk, it's a little different. Now, in the news, of course, you see across the country all this weather. This weather coming across is, you know, coming from like California coming across, you see going through the Rockies, and it's picking up all the snow, and then through the Midwest, and then up through Chicago, and then it gets slammed on the East Coast. And I know we already had like 2 storms or maybe 3 storms. I think one's coming over this weekend again. And I know there's a lot of people who are out of in harm's way, and they have no electricity in the Midwest. And it's staggering if you don't have a generator and you're looking at 20 and below temperatures. I mean, you have children. Some of these areas, people are so into the convenience of what they have. They might have some extra blankets and things, but, you know, they're just not ready for what they're dealing with. But it's an eye-opener to all these thousands of people who don't have electricity because it's down. They might have fireplaces. They might not. You have to be careful if you're going to do propane. You can't do it. Well, you know, you can't have it, a little system in your house because, you know, the carbon monoxide, you know, you're wake up dead. Well, you won't wake up. But, you know, you have to be careful about what you're doing and how you're doing it. It isn't just, you know, turn it on and use this convenience because you have some knowledge of it. You have to have real knowledge of it or people can die. It's no joke. Because I know a lot of people around here, they said, well, just turn your propane oven on, you know, your house oven, and turn it on low and let that be the heat. I was like, no, we're going to put an extra blanket on the bed because I'm not playing that game. It might work. It might work for them. I don't know. But if there's a leak somewhere, you're not going to wake up. And we got, you know, two dogs. We'll all be sitting here dead. So you have to be very, very conscious and very careful. And if you don't know how to do something, research it. And across the Midwest, while they're dealing with the snow, a lot of people don't understand. I saw on the news where some children had built like a little fort, like a little igloo, and it collapsed. And one of the children are dead because it collapsed on them. It collapsed on both of them. But I think one was knocked unconscious or something, but one died. And I think the one that survived is 12. I think the other one was 9 or vice versa. And they were just outside playing in the snow. But personally, it was very, very cold for a child to be playing in the snow. I think it was in that area. I think it was the Midwest somewhere. I think it was my like, you know, like 12 degrees or something. Very, very cold in addition to the snow. So you got to make conscious decisions on even when you're playing in the snow. For frostbite, you know, you got to know what that is and know it could come in some areas within just a few moments, or you might have more of a delayed type of frostbite, which takes about an hour, maybe 2 hours, where you just go numb first. And then, you know, by the time you look at your feet, they're black and blue, and you possibly looking at amputation. So, you know, it's no joke. You have to be ready. I always remember Dave talking about 2 years ago, he was saying that all this was coming down the pike, really. Now, we didn't know exactly what was coming, but we knew something was coming down the pike. The dominoes have been falling for years. And I remember him saying, two things stick out in my mind. One, he always talked about when all this rubber kind of hits the road, it's going to be very, very cold. Dave, do you remember saying that? I know you do. Do you remember that? Maybe not on the board.
No, I'm here, Sister Davis. Here? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Do you remember talking about? Oh, okay. Yeah, remember you were very well stating that a lot of issues were going to happen when it was cold. For whatever reason, it would be cold outside. You remember you stated that?
Sure. Yes, ma'am. I sure do.
And right here, we have one of the coldest winters on record. And we don't even know what next year is going to bring. But right now, this is one of the coldest, and rain, because rain, water damage is next to fire damage. If water can tear some things up, as where fire does it immediately, water is like a bit slower, but it's just as damaging, believe me. It, you know, it can wear through equipment, it can rust your tools and equipment. That slow leak in the house, you know, can cause mold and mildew, which is a health hazard in most cases. It could just ruin things, ruin your furniture, ruin your walls, ruin your ceiling. You know, it's not just, oh, I want to put a bucket underneath this leak. Sometimes the leak is coming through the wall, but it's also spreading in other directions. It can be staggering. And then in the ground, I know for us here with the RV, we have a problem trying to keep it level because in this area, we have what's called, they call it sugar sand. It's a mixture of dirt and sand because we're about 150 miles in from the beach, from the coast, from like Myrtle Beach. So we have a mixture of sand and dirt. And that's a whole new world because it reminds me of if you're cooking and you have a cup of sugar and it's nice and dry and it has one type of property to it, and then you pour water in it, and then it just say a little bit of water, and you can see it kind of cake out a little bit more, you can see it get more liquid, and it just turns into something else. And that's kind of what happens to the ground. And what's also happening is the water table underneath the ground is saturated. It might be a little dry on the top, but if you dig down, like to put poles in and that type of thing for structures, it's almost impossible because it's so wet. You go down maybe a foot and the ground is wet. You can see the different color of the soil. And I was talking to a contractor. A lot of the programs and the buildings and things, excuse me, that they are planning, they're on hold, waiting because they don't know if it's going to get worse or better. I was talking to another gentleman who said that actually the riverbank is so high that this is the highest it's been in years. They said they haven't seen the low part of the riverbank since last March. And it's devastating in some of the areas. Over in Florence area of South Carolina, every time it rains, it still floods, just like the original flood that happened from that hurricane. Because underneath the ground, all of the piping and the sewage and everything, it hasn't had a break. And out front of a lot of people's lawns, well, you're out front of their homes, it's a pool of water. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. It's not impossible. It's just that you got to know what it is and try to research it a little bit. You know, we do spend a lot of time on YouTube seeing how to fix this or getting an understanding how to do that. It's been enlightening. It's our labor of love is what we've always wanted to do, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue to strive. Ain't no stopping us now. We know how that song goes. Ain't no stopping us now. We have a couple little setbacks, but we're fortunate. We're very fortunate. And another thing I always remember Dave always talking about is on Fridays, if once everything hits the financial system, if there's going to really be a football problem on Friday, you know, the ATMs aren't going to work, and it usually happens when Monday's a holiday. So now every time we have a Monday holiday, you know, I kind of like, okay, is this the time it's going to happen? You know, or is things going to slow up or shut down? But there's something to think about, because if it happens on a Friday, Monday the banks are closed, Tuesday you go to withdraw and there's nothing to withdraw. All you're going to do is hear it on the news. And even with the shutdown, a lot of people who are government workers, they're looking at their utilities. Believe me, you better believe they're saving water, because their stuff might get cut off if they don't have the finances to pay. And a lot of people were already behind the eight ball because they just came out of a holiday season, you know, spending a lot on their credit cards because of the Christmas, and then boom, January, they don't get no paycheck. So a lot of them are looking at YouTube videos and maybe investing in generators and supplement heating and air conditioning and solar power. And believe me, they all have a wake-up call, all those government workers who thought they had really, well, they do have really good jobs. It's just that they're not being paid. And so they're looking at alternative ways to pay their bills and to continue their lifestyle. And it's going to change their lifestyle. Even if it starts back in a couple of weeks, the damage is done and that domino's already fell. So, you know, we look at this as a learning curve, trying to stay healthy. I put a video, I saw a video, and I think I sent it to Dave. I think I sent it to Scotty. It's a video about the weather. Let me go back to my computer here. It's a video that talks about the weather like I've never seen it talked about before. This gentleman, if anybody on the call understands how HARP works, it's a weather control system that makes it rain when they want it to rain, and earthquakes and wind and crazy weather. But technology and that destruction type situation has went so forward. They got a whole bunch of other things that they're using now. HARP is kind of obsolete. They got all kind of weather control machines that they're doing, and it's staggering, because basically they're creating all this weather havoc because they know it's going to exhaust people with the weather constantly too cold, too hot. Also, look at everybody running to the building supplies, because we be at the building supplies, Lowe's and Home Depot all the time, and some days it looks like Christmas, where there's hardly any cash registers open, and you can't find people to help you, and it's that kind of mania, and like you get at the holidays, and that's just a Saturday morning. Because a lot of people are now starting to wake up and smell the coffee and buying building material, you know, power tools, regular tools, you know. A lot of people I see are buying lumber, because if the weather turns bad, you have to have pre-lumber on your windows before the hurricane hits, instead of waiting till, you know, the last second. So a lot of people are buying building materials. And this weather is crazy. But this particular site, if you look up the guy, his name is, I wrote it down here, Mike Morales, MikeMorales. He has a series of weather-related, he just calls it weather warfare. In addition to just bad weather, they also are doing devices with chemtrails and spraying that are trying to start some type of pandemic. And I know Dave has talked about that years ago, pandemics, flus, you know, invisible things that are making you sneeze and cough and carry on. But these YouTube videos are off the chain. The one that I saw the other day, he had did it. I always look at the dates of when these are put out, because it could be a year ago or it could have been yesterday. But he put this video out on January the 17th. So this was prior to this last bad weather. And everything that he said on the 17th hit. And I mean exactly the way he said, based on these weather control system modules that he has. I've only watched this a few times, so I'm not sure exactly where he's getting the information, but what he shows on the YouTube videos of the Dopplers and things like that, that I guess they're advanced a week or so, are right on the money. I mean, exactly the weather, the wind, the rain, the inches of snow. I mean, it's like the neighborhood, your local newscast, they don't watch this because they need to, because a lot of times they're wrong. This guy was right on the money. And it was staggering to see it. I mean, my mouth just fell open to see, because it was dated the 17th prior to the weekend, and then over the weekend we had all that crazy snow and rain all over the country. But he's also talking a lot about outbreaks. He's also talking about some pandemics and outbreaks. There's something called Disease X. It's stuff that, you know, you got to have to look it up for yourself. I don't want to elaborate on it for too long, but you know, there's this cough that you have, this cold that comes. I haven't caught it, but you get this cold, a regular cold, but then you get this lingering cough for like 3 weeks. And it sounds horrific. Like if you're sitting at the job, now you're physically, you don't have a temperature, you don't have a sore throat, but you have this crazy cough. And a lot of people are complaining about it. Obviously, just taking Robitussin and that type of over-the-counter stuff isn't working. And I always say pineapple juice helps soothe the throat and it's a cough suppressant. But, you know, we do the colloidal silver. That's what we do, the colloidal silver and the elderberry juice for our flu shot. That's what we do. Of course, you know, we do have other herbs and things, you know, golden seal and all of that, but the go-to medicine, well, the go-to herbal remedy that we go to is the colloidal silver. Is there somebody on the call? Dave, have you noticed the 717 coming yet?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry, brother, Sister Davis. I was just letting you know. Yes, Brother Davis is in queue. So, Brother Davis, whenever you're ready, just unmute yourself as well.
And Sister Davis, right, you know what?
Real quick, I just want to, you know, I just want to say thank you so much. And you know, when you were talking about about water and water damage being, you know, just as equal to or greater than fire damage, that's so true. And one of the things that you said that was so catching with me, and I hope a lot of people caught it, was that when you talked about the carrying a bottle of water, you know, clean out your bottles, particularly, especially your bottles that are glass bottles. You definitely want to harvest and keep those. Those are critical. And if you can keep a top with those, very, very, very important. Glass is critical because glass will help you to be able to purify the water by sitting it in the sun. It will actually purify the water as well. But Sister Davis, you know, and I know you appreciate this now, and you said it, and I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on it with water. And Brother Davis will be back in. I guess
he just called me, so he's on. Richard, are you there?
Yes, Brother Dave, you gave up my hold card. See, I wanted to listen to her.
Oh, you want to listen? Oh, no, I want you here talking.
I'm
sorry, Brother Davis.
Consensual, but she thinks she could not handle the show by herself. So I wanted to give her some time.
Oh, yes, she could.
Get in rhythm, and then you told her I was off. I had to call her back, Brother.
Mr. Davis, no, you're my other part of the team, and you need to be on this call. But before before you go on, Dave, go ahead and say what you were talking about the bottle. Let's finish that up first. You were saying about the bottle.
Brother Davis, because you may have missed this when but I'm sorry I gave you up, Brother Davis. I didn't mean to give away your location. My mistake. But Sister Davis, what you were saying was so important. And I know that you and Brother Davis have noticed this since making the overall change to becoming more self-sufficient and self-reliant, meaning to have more self-determination. The density of water, you know, carrying water, one, you have to be properly hydrated before carrying water while you're carrying it, because water is extremely dense and heavy, extremely dense and heavy. And cumbersome, you know, if you don't have the right equipment to do it. So, Sister Davis, I know you and Brother Davis, and I know Brother Davis experienced that in his military, in his time in the military, in extreme measures. And I know that you have, you know, noticed that as well. And like you said, you appreciate water so much more because you see the value of everything. You know, when you start to live off the grid, your overall value awareness goes from zero to a million to a billion. And I think that's very, very, very important because you become more essentially grounded to the truth and what's there to sustain us. So, Sister Davis, how about the weight of water, you know, carrying it?
Yeah, the weight of water is tremendous. And, you know, you got to look at what you might even spill before you get it to where you need it to be. Now our well is up and running, but for the first 2 weeks, we were carrying water around. And we were, you know, I was very, saving it and reusing it. And, you know, especially like the dishwater, I would use the dishwater instead of that going down the drain. I'd use that to flush the toilet. And, you know, you got to think outside the box. But I'm going to tell you a tip of where you can get the best bottles, because bottles are important, especially for people who live in a home that you can put a lot of bottles in your basement. You can line them up or whatever. Is check with some taverns, bars, you know, liquor bars, because they have the best bottles are the liquor bottles. They all kind of shapes and sizes, and some of them got the little cut glass and this and that. You can ask them, because all they do is throw them away, because I know in our city that we're from, they don't recycle glass like they used to. Back in the day, you put your glass in a container to be recycled and your plastic now and your paper. Now they don't want the glass. They told us to put the glass in the trash, and they want the plastic and like cardboard and stuff. But if you go to one of your area taverns or bars or, you know, where they sell liquor, they throw them in the trash. So you can ask them once a week, can I collect a box of bottles or a container of bottles? I'll even give you the container. Take them home, rinse them out. Now, to rinse things out that smell, for me, I use salt. Regular table salt. You put water in the table salt as much as you want. I just kind of dump it in and you let it sit, and the salt will absorb the smell and the odor and the liquor that's left in there. And you might have a little bit of residue of liquor smell in there, but there ain't no liquor in there. But those are really quality bottles, and they're free. they are absolutely free. Because if you look, if you go to the Dollar Tree, they sell really nice bottles too, and they're a dollar. So you can just collect, or collect from your cousin who drinks a bottle of this or that, or a couple bottles of this or that during the week. Because generally, they're just throwing them in the trash. And you don't even got to tell, well, you can share what you want them for, but they're going to keep them if you do. But yeah, you have to be conscious of water and recycle the water. Every bottle that comes in here is recycled in some manner. Some of the plastic that we use for, because right now I'm not drinking our well water. I want to get it tested. I'm just not drinking it yet. I'm not drinking it right out the faucet yet. I will in a little bit. We got some other things to do, and but if I boil it, I'll drink it. You know, if it's being boiled, you know, teas and coffee, that type of thing, I do it that way. So right now I'm still drinking bottled water for a minute until I just want to do some testing before I really go gun ho with it. But I did, yeah, when we first got, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Davis.
I wanted to add, when you said that you boil water, I wanted to add that you lose oxygen in water when you boil.
Right.
You want to keep that in mind, because you can be drinking water and thinking that it's giving your body what you need, but it's not actually dehydrating you.
That's right.
Because of the process. So I'll say,
right,
darling, I'll sit back.
Right, and I was just going to add that when we first came here, we were going to Walmart and buying water, and I never buy Walmart water, and I never buy purified water, but we were buying Deer Park. We bought some Deer Park water. We had like a case or so. And I was doing a lot. Like I said, it wasn't really sunny. So it was sunny and cloudy, not a lot of full sun. And we were doing a lot of working. And I'm drinking this water. And I started feeling dizzy every so often. My heart started racing a little bit. I started getting a headache, but I was thinking, because, you know, I'm working more and doing this and I'm under a little bit of stress and, you know, digging, and we were doing a lot of physical things, and I kept drinking this water. And I looked at him, I said, you know what, honey, I'm drinking this water and it feels like it doesn't have any oxygen in it. It's like when I drink it, I'm not feeling that rejuvenation in my body. I said, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on, because my heart started palpitate. At the first week or so, I didn't even say anything, because I just thought, because it was a different environment. But then it got so that, I mean, I didn't feel extremely, extremely bad, but I knew my body felt different. And I told him, I said, honey, I'm going to tell you I'm not feeling well, because if you come out the room and I didn't lay down on the ground, you're going to know what happened. I mean, you're going to know that I'm giving you a heads up that I'm not feeling well. And he really got concerned, and I was looking at what I was eating, and I kept zeroing in on this water. And I said, it's like the water doesn't have any oxygen. It's like I was feeling weak. It was like I was couldn't breathe. You know how you, the feeling, like, you know, if you blow a balloon, you say you're at a birthday party or something, you're blowing up a lot of balloons. You know how you get winded after a while? You're not shortness of breath, but you got to, you know, you got to take a minute and stop blowing these balloons, because it's taking all you can to blow these balloons and your body's not recuperating. That's about the best way I could describe it. And I said, I think there's something wrong with this water. I said, how are you feeling? And he said, he was fine. But I was like, something ain't right with this water. So the next time we got a case, I know Dr. Sebe, back when he was walking the earth, he was not a big bottled water fan either. But he said that if you got to drink bottled water, the best bottled water is Crystal Glacier. That was what he recommended. He recommends basic spring water, but he knows a lot of his listeners are drinking bottled water, so he gave it advice about what was the best bottled water. And I know it's a little hard to get sometimes. We get it at the Big Lots. Big Lots has it pretty much frequently. Office Max has it, and some of the Dollar Trees have it. Now, the Dollar Tree has it where you get 6 bottles for a dollar, so that's not really that economical, but it is the Glacier, and they also sell it by the gallon jugs at the Dollar Tree. But the cases, the bigger cases, they sell at Big Lots. So I just said, well, let me just change this water. Let me go back to the Crystal Glacier, because we were drinking that a lot of times up in Pennsylvania. And sure enough, in about 2 days, everything was gone. No palpitations, no funny feeling, the headache, all that went away. I swear to you that that deer part had no oxygen in it. Something was wrong with it. I'm not saying it was poisoned or anything like that, but the, some of the molecules that should have been in it was not in it. And that's why Richard was saying, you know, that every water you drink is not just as pure as you think it is. And I'm not saying maybe it was just a batch that they had, but I'm not drinking it no more. You know, I'm very selective, and I try my best not to ever drink the purified water, because it says it's purified with some minerals and stuff, and I don't know what their minerals are. They don't give you a list any if it's potassium or chlor. They don't tell you, and they don't tell you the amount. And I'm not drinking something that says something's been added, and they don't give me a list of what's been added. Sorry, Aunt, I'm not doing
American
it.
Dollar.
Yes.
Okay, we're coming up on a break right now, so this is an opportunity for Black Talk Radio to give your station identification. We want you to keep Black Talk Radio in your contributions, keep them in your prayers, actually, because literally we need help, and we're trying to get as much as we can, because literally this is what radio stations run off of, people's input and people's resources. So we want to take a break, and then we'll be right back. And Eric, if you could get me off air, I want to drop something in your ear. I'd like you to speak on.
Well, text it to me. Can you text it?
Well, if, when they go to the break, I could just tell you. Okay.
I love it. I love it. Hey, listen, everybody, get ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, whenever you run this commercial break, listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Are we back? Okay, Eric, I didn't get a chance to text you. But listen,
yes. Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio. So go ahead, Brother David.
What I was going to tell my wife was, in a situation where you're growing independently, you're actually building your truth. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, we put a lot of time in the dinner table. And the reason why is because we have our meals there. And once again, it's the center of our operation. Once again, we do all of our planning there. And we have opportunity to discuss interpersonal reactions, because there's some things that she's experiencing during this experience that I'm not. And that's why she was communicating with you, how she had to inform me about how she was feeling. When you are operating in your own truth, and this is exactly what we're doing, you begin to become more aware of your needs as well as the things that you need in your life. When I say the things that you need in your life, simple things like water. And you know what? A lot of you may not even thought about it, but water is vital to life itself. So these things have to be maintained. Different things like the how you're going to get rid of your excrement. These are a part of life. So these things have to be maintained. The type of food you're going to eat. And it must supply nutrition, I'm going to tell you. And I'm fortunate to have a wife who takes a simple recipe and tweaks it and can make it an actually savory and delicious and nutritious for me. And that's a big, big plus, because a lot of times when you're working, you don't realize how exhausted you are. She talked about water. When I get that water, I try to get, if it's on sale, I get 3 or 4 cases. 5 if I can. If it's not on sale, I try to at least get 2 or 3. But the whole thing is, you got to have a water supply. And I do think personally that the water coming from our spring is of good quality, but it's something that bothers my wife. So why would I let that be a pressure on me when all I have to do is follow what she says until I can put those other things in place? And then she'll be more subtle about making that decision when it comes to drinking water, and that's an asset that we save. Always keep in mind that you're going to have the resources if you're going to make a decision like this. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's always bigger than you expect it to be. When me and my wife stepped out into this venture, we made an initial investment, And then after we made the, and that was for the trailer itself. And after we made the initial investment, we had to do the preparation things. And these preparation things kind of got bigger, then they got smaller, then they got bigger, then they got smaller. And then when you get out here in the actual doing, these same things happen. Some things get bigger, they have less demand, some things have more demand. And the best part about it is that at the end of the day, you know, you can sit back and get positive feedback so that we can move forward into tomorrow. We are planning to do several things in the future that's even going to enhance our circumstance. But I can't do it without having someone like Erica. I mean, be very clear about that, because there's a lot of the duties that she does, I don't even see. And then when she does them, I benefit by them, and that's vice versa also. So you become really dependent on the relationships that you build. Just simple things like I tore a hole in a pair of pants. I didn't think about it much. It was just, I just had to take care of later. My brother has a way of saying, oh, that's just something cosmetic. But my wife seen it, and she mended it. I didn't think about it until I put the pants on again. I said, oh, wow. And she said, yeah, well, I seen it, and you didn't say nothing. Those are the things that, although you may think may not play a role with the weather, the way it's been lately, had that hole still been there, I'd have had a gaping window in my pants while I was working, and the temperatures were below 30, 25 degrees. So you begin to realize how much of an asset you are to each other. Would you like to add to that, Erica?
Yeah, I appreciate all your kind words there. And yes, that's true. All your little skills that you brought up with from a childhood, a whole bunch of stuff starts coming out. A lot of stuff you read, some of these past radio shows, they replay in my mind like, woo, Dave was on it. Or Scotty, boy, you know, or you know, the other guys on the show. And, you know, I remember somebody saying this and saying that, because I got to get to one brother. One of the brothers talked about the toilet paper. I think it was Mo. He talked about making this toilet paper fire where you take a can and you put the toilet paper in. And I have it written down somewhere. There's like a little recipe that you can use to heat. Also, you can use terracotta bowls and put like a small candle, and it makes like a little heater, because cold is cold. Cold is one thing that is just staggering. If you cold and you know, your mind and your fingers and your toes, and just collecting warm weather things. You know, I used to collect a lot of sleeping bags, you know, pretty much for the grandkids when I go to these flea markets and stuff, collecting sleeping bags and old blankets. A lot of people throw blankets away. They throw them away. Oh, I don't need it. It's got a hole in it. Or, you know, it's a cartoon character that don't nobody, you know, like it's Mickey Mouse or something. No, collect every blanket, wash it, stick it somewhere. Because you can use blankets for tarps or cushions or wrapping, or you might need the material. You make belts. You can make just any kind of materials you need to hold on to, towels. You'd be surprised, because, you know, we're used to paper towels and tissues. Guess what? You might come across the time you don't have a paper towel or tissue. You better use a rag. All them old towels, especially here where we're at, you know, we're always wiping up something's leaking, or using it to help with tools, or, you know, gasoline, you're toting around and you need a rag. And, you know, so that's valuable. Just rags. Just old things like that. Just rags. Sometimes I take these little water bottles and I make little containers out of them to put this and that on, instead of going to the Dollar Tree buying a container. I use a water bottle, cut it in half, and I got a container. You can put, you know, Dixie cups or whatever, or a little makeup, whatever you need it for, you know. I mean, I'm not being cheap. I'm just reusing it. And it's just little things. It'll start coming back to you.
Sister David.
Because, yes.
Real quick, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to add something real quick. And I learned from talking to some of the homeless people that were in Los Angeles during the wintertime, because I used to always talk to them, you know, where are you going, what are you doing? And this is one thing, resource that has been taken away from us that was very valuable in keeping warm, and that's newspaper. They used to use newspaper to insulate their bedding or their jackets or whatever, and that newspaper act as an insulator, and it actually kept them warm. comes to keeping warm, if you can, and it's hard to find now. You know, remember how common it was to find newspapers before, but it's difficult now. Newspaper is a one of the best insulators for heat.
And it's funny that you say that, Dave, about, you know, newspaper is harder to find, because guess what? We have none. We have none right here because we don't have that delivery. Newspaper is something you take, you see it every day and you walk past it, but we don't have like newspaper delivery or anything like that for the daily news. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't have them, because a lot of the daily newspapers are now online. And so you know, I know in our city, it went from 5 days to 3 days. And some cities, it's one day. So, you know, that everyday newspaper on the front porch, you're losing that. Because I know here I had some stuff that I had wrapped up when I brought it down in boxes, and I reused that. I took that newspaper and flattened it out, and I stacked it up because I saw how valuable it was, because that's something we don't have. You know, and when I go to town and stuff, if I see those magazines, you know, those magazines that sit by the door that don't nobody read, I do read them because a lot of times that's little local stuff. I grab a whole bunch of those and I bring them home. And they're just those little free magazines. Because after the next edition comes out, they throw them out. So I don't grab all of them, but I grab a stack of them. And I read those little magazines that's around, especially around these little local areas, because it might have contractors or information or some little class or, you know, information in them. Because in this type of rural area, they still depend on some of that basic types of communications. As we're in the big cities, everything's online and, you know, websites and texting. You know, in this area, they, you know, they do some of it, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. And one thing I do want to mention, too, is some of the people that you thought you could count on and thought they had your back, sometimes they don't. So you have to have a plan B, and you have to have a plan people B, because some people who thought you would would be in your corner are not. And then some people who always said, hey, I'll be there if you need me, and you guess what? You call them, and they're there. So really, you got to look at relationships too. I know in this area, most of the families that live outside of our general area where we have our land, I guess just the short story is that one family about three generations ago bought 200 acres that are in this area. And then it was a family farm and everybody had their own little plot of land. And then as it went forward in time, a lot of, you know, the country folk wanted to be city folk. So they wanted to go up to like Charlotte and up north and all of that. And then the older ones still held the fort down. But because there wasn't a lot of families anymore, they started selling the land off. But all around us is the generation of like the third generation of the same family. So we go to them for a lot of information. And believe me, they are worth their weight in gold. Because for one thing, this is their area. They know a lot about the area. And they're farmers. They're country folks, you know. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Davis, they're country folks?
Yes. Now, but you have to understand, the value of human exchange and interaction can literally be measured by the person who receives it in appreciation. And we found that interaction, both sides, going both ways, because a lot of them, the one lady said, you know, your wife is such a sophisticated black woman. And I said, oh, interesting you would say that. She said, well, she speaks so well, she carries herself so well, she's pretty. She just went through all these things. I'm saying to her, you know what? She comes and sits down and have coffee with you. She said, yes. That's what I don't. Sometimes it just shocks me that a woman of her caliber will just come and sit down like she's from the farm. I said, but that's the point. We are from the farm. We're just from a different culture.
And let me add. Sometimes Mr. Davis, he'll go to town or do something, and all of a sudden, he talking like them with the country accent. How about it, Mr. Davis? Because sometimes, if they know you're from,
find a way to fit in.
Yeah, you got to find a way to fit in. You got to talk like they talk. When you say Dave, I know you talk Texan sometimes, don't you?
I'm gonna tell you, Sister Davis and Brother Davis, that it's so important to be able to blend into your surrounding, to look as natural as possible and as inconspicuous as possible. I love it.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes, you know, them nice fancy clothes, hey, you know, you need to wear the same thing for 2 or 3 days, maybe, like the same top. Because for me, I have to look at the laundry. So, because, you know, laundry is a big deal. Because we don't, well, we have a washer and dryer, actually, but it's not hooked up because it's just not that kind of hookup yet. I just happened to bring, I had it in a shed up in a garage up in Pennsylvania. We brought it down, but it's going to be a little bit till we get that water source and all that done. But so, you know, we go to the laundromat. And so I, you know, I wear the same little sweatshirt for a couple of days. Why not? I'm not, if it's dirty, it's dirty. But if it's not, you know, it isn't everything got to be, you know, all the, no, it's not like that. And
no,
you can if you want to. I'm not saying you got to walk around filthy, but I'm just saying, you know, you know, get away with it down here. And that's what they're doing. We had this one gentleman who came, we got these sheds, and he's, you know, he helped us build these sheds. And every day he came, he had on the same exact thing. I mean, it was from the hat to the glove to the shirt to the jacket to. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. You know, he did when he walked by, it's my money. You know, and he didn't look embarrassed. He looked like, look, I'm here to get this job done. Let's get started. And it's just amazing.
It's an exceptional job.
Exceptional job. Exceptional job. And sometimes you got to just. I'm sorry, go ahead, babe.
Erica, I wanted to tap into something real quick because, see, I don't want y'all to think when we say you have to talk like the locals that we're trying to make fun or give them the impression as though we think less of them. No, they're more comfortable with that.
Right.
And what's the best part about it is that I've been around people who would say he's a northerner and
yep.
They say he don't sound like it. But then they'll say, show him. And then I give them a little intellectual conversation. It'd be disingenuous for me to sit here and give you the impression that I have no knowledge at all, when I can synchronize with the best of them. They look at you like, well, this is a radio. But it's the ideal that now you're making a greater connection on another level. And then guess what? They don't feel offended because you're reaching out to the world in the area where the world doesn't easily come in. A lot of what they see is passing through. And a lot of times we're sitting down having conversation and coffee with them, and they get lost in the fact that we are just like them. But I try to get them to understand we're only people from different places, and we have the same things in common.
And the barter system does well down here, the barter system. One of the families up the road has chickens and keeps us in eggs. And I'm so excited to have these little eggs. And then in the beginning, she kind of just kept us in eggs. And then in the next week, she, you know, because I wanted to give her money when we first started. And she was like, well, no, no, no. And then the one day she says, well, you know, Wednesday, as a matter of fact, it's today, is your egg day. And she says, we're going to charge you a dollar. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Ain't no problem. But, you know, it's 18 brown eggs that the chickens got names. They're free-range chickens. They got names, which I'm glad she charges. Because if, you know, I mean, I know she got to feed the chickens, and I'd rather give her the dollar than another place a dollar. But when we first started, when we first got here, they knew we weren't on our feet, and she didn't charge us nothing. When she sees us got on our feet a little bit more and things started to manifest, then she's charging us. But I'm so tickled because I can leave my eggs out. I've always wanted to leave my eggs out. I don't know if you ever noticed that when you eat eggs, if you go to a restaurant in some places and you're eating like scrambled eggs or something, and you say, wow, these taste so good. Like, what are they doing? What's different? Well, one thing, a natural egg that comes from a chicken, it doesn't have to be refrigerated for a month. It does. It's a different process. And you can leave them out on your counter. Now, once you get like a Walmart egg or grocery store egg, once they're refrigerated after the chicken has laid them and they're processed or whatever, you've missed that window of time. You got to keep them refrigerated after that. Now, they could be out for a couple of hours, but I know these eggs I got on my counter right now, they've been sitting there for a week. And they are natural. They are natural, and you can leave them out. And when you eat them, they are so good. And in the morning, before he goes to work, I get up and make him a good, wholesome breakfast. And, you know, we pack a lunch. You know, we do dinner. And by 9 o'clock, I know Mr. Davis is in bed. I usually do about 10, but he is tired because it's just a different, you know, you're up early, which is fine. I mean, I'm just giving you a way that our day goes. But, you know, but going back down to basics, you know, we have some things that we're going to do in the next week or so with our generator. That's not exactly where we want it. And because now we see what all is exhaust and things. So we have a cabinet that we're going to put our generator in so it makes less noise. And so we're going to move that out of that shed.
Yes. Ms. Davis, wait a minute. You make that sound so eloquent. Let me be very clear to y'all. We got an old refrigerator, and this older gentleman who literally was, he was about 80, 88 years old.
Yeah.
He said to me, he said, you know, first of all, I make dog houses out of those. When I got into his concept, his dog house was totally insulated. And when a dog is in it in the wintertime, it could go down to zero, but it contains the dog's body heat. I said, wow, that's unique. So I went and talked to him and sat down for a while. I bought one of those from him. It's our handy, that sort of thing. Then I was telling this problem with the generator. He said, I tell you what, you take one of the old refrigerators out there, you cut the bottom out of it, you let the generator sit on the swing side door. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you lay it down upside down. He said, you got to put a base in it, the concrete base, so your generator doesn't have a lot of vibration. That way, when you turn on your generator, you could put two holes in it, one for the exhaust, and then you put a pipe in to run your exhaust out, and one for the intake valve. And that way, when you start your generator and close the door, you won't hear it. You know what? I'm cutting this refrigerator now, because generators do make a loud noise. But when I see the dynamics of how refrigerators are made and insulated, these are the type of concepts these people live by that literally can be a part of the process that you're in. And we literally look for those opportunities. And there's a lot of local things, because I'm going to tell you, we're sitting there one day, and she came over, and she had shook this here pint jar up. And she said, look at this.
And oh, gosh. Like here we go.
It looked like water, but the bubbles that were fizzing dissipated real quickly. I said, well, what is this? She said, this is a little bit of recipe. I said, what? She said, a little bit of recipe. So I took it with me. We went back in the house and everything, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying to myself, interesting. So the next day I got up and went outside and did some work, and I got the coffee. And she said, her and Erica was talking, and Erica said, you know, my husband's getting a little cold. She said, what do you mean he's getting a little cold? She said, well, he started coughing, and he's been working outside all morning, and, you know, the weather hasn't been the best. She said, tell him to take a sip of the recipe today and take one before he goes to bed tonight. The next day, the cold was gone.
And you guys, it's local recipe, if y'all know what we're saying. It's local, clear recipe that if you put a match to it, you can burn your, you know, burn it as heat. I mean, and it's very unique, and it's top of the line. And it's locally made. And if anybody watched the Waltons and know that what the recipe is, it's the recipe. And it just tickled him to death. It just tickled my husband. He was so tickled. I can't drink it. It's too, you know, it make my hair stand up. I a little too potent for me. But, you know, it's just, you know, what the locals do. You know, I mean, she don't tell you who or what or where because she can't. But that's okay. We don't ask. You know,
it's all in her family. Everything that they do branches out of the family because that's the core. So therefore, if one person might do this, another person might do that, another person might he might drive a truck, or he might just have one. Matter of fact, they got cows. You name these people have branches out where they have trees. They got cows. They got chickens. They literally have an interactive community in their family. And for them to accept us being new, and literally my brother helped to establish that relationship, because I'm going to run the story by you real quick so you'll have an understanding of how you build in a community. Her farm is across the street from ours. Her house is across the street from our farm. And she was coming out one day. She's about 55, 60 in that area. And she had a ramp. Well, the ramp broke, and she fell and broke her knee.
and she had needed stitches and everything. So my brother called me up and he said, you know what, I was there and I was on the road there. He said, you know what, he said, I think we got an opportunity to make something positive out of a bad circumstance. I said, well, what do you mean? Because, you know, naturally I'm wondering, well, what's going on in your mind? And he told me about the lady across the street, and her name is Caroline, and she's been very nice to him and everything, but she fell because she had an old ramp and the wood was rotten. He said, I need about $90 so I could buy the wood and put a whole new foundation in and put some concrete footers in the ground, and then I wanted to cover the ground under it so nothing to grow while, you know, while it's there, because literally things grow out of the ground. He didn't want that. So he did that. She was in the hospital. She came home one day. She started standing with her daughter, staying at her daughter's house till she felt better. She came home one day and she just cried. She said, when I seen what this man who don't even know me did for me, she said, it just brought me to tears. And that brought that whole family to rally around. Whatever they could do to help us, they gladly do. So you never know what small thing that you could do that can change the dynamics of a community because of the way you put out yourself in their circumstance. And believe me, she adores my wife. She calls my wife just to say, I ain't heard from you. Are you all right? Is everything okay? And I'm saying, well, Eric, who's that? She said, well, that's Miss Caroline. We'll go over there and sit for an hour or so, maybe once or twice a week. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, this has been an experience that we will never forget. What do you think, Erica?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And you do need to do that in your area when you're in this type of situation. But even, you know, even when you're in a city situation, you know, it is always good to know who your surroundings are. We've gotten away from that over the years because we've gotten away from it. But going forward in time with this shutdown and things like that, it's gonna become going back to that type of situation where, you know, family might have to take the spare room or the spare area because they can't pay their rent or utilities are too high. But all this shutdown and all of this, we all saw this coming. We knew something was coming. We just wasn't sure what it was. And they were like, because, I mean, if you listen to the show, I mean, they tell you almost every day, you know, especially about a year ago, because he was looking a year forward. Because even though on this show, Scotty and Dave, they're talking present day, but they're talking past, present, and future knowledge, believe me, because it's a lot of research. Because before we do something, we always research it, you know, because right now we got Google, we got computers, we got books. There might come a time that all this crashes, and it seems to be right around the corner. I do want to talk one thing about this shutdown that a lot of people might not notice or you might not become aware of, but we need to, people who buy meat and different vegetables, you need to look at what you're buying. Because if you're taking notice with the government shutdown, some of the people who are the FDA who do the food, I don't know, what are they called? Not researchers, but inspectors, food inspectors aren't working. Or some of them are, or it's lower staff. So they might be letting the chicken go by. They ain't paying much attention to it, the pork, the meat. So that once it gets to Walmart and all them places, is there. And so they just take some knowledge in that the inspectors are not being paid. They're pissed off. They're overworked. We used to say overworked and underpaid, but now we can say overworked and no pay. So food safety should be everybody's main concern right about now, because we're already a month into this. So that stuff is going to start hitting your dinner table if it hasn't already. So they're talking about fish, poultry, and meat. So if it's frozen and it's been frozen already before the first of the year, you can best assure that it's the regular, it's, you know, the inspectors looked at it. But from that point on, you might just want to just be a little bit more cautious. You know, I always would, well, we don't eat meat, but if I were to eat meat, I would use something like apple cider vinegar, soak your food. Soak your chicken, you know, marinate your meat, you know, with vinegar. If you don't have apple cider vinegar, you can use regular vinegar and let it sit a minute, you know, rinse it well. I know on the internet they were talking about, oh, some people don't wash their food. It was doing so special. Evidently, people who are not melanated don't wash their food. They don't wash the chicken. They don't wash. I never bought, you know, I have been a meat eater in my time. So if I'm eating it, it's being washed. I never put something from the grocery store into the pot or the pan. Never in my life. It's going to go through the water. And they were saying that they don't do that. They was like, why should we do that? It goes in the oven where it's 400 degrees and it killed. I was like, I'm sorry. If I pick it up off the floor, I'm going to wash it. If I get it out of a container, I'm going to wash it. That's just the way I am. So then one lady said, well, you don't wash your hamburger meat. I was like, how you know I don't wash my hamburger meat? I don't run the hamburger meat through the water. What's wrong with that? When it cooks, it's just more water, more juice. You run, you know, you drain it and keep it moving. But if it's coming in my house and it's an animal, and you know, because we did eat meat for a long, you know, haven't been vegetarian forever, but it's gonna be washed. And then once again, even with your vegetables, yes.
I wonder if you could point out the fact that don't buy marinated meat.
Yes, don't buy marinated meat. Don't buy marinated meat.
We'll get ready to come up on a break. All right, after the break, I want to move this here on a little bit more of a spiritual level because I want you to understand that we have to have things working in our favor, and you do have some control over that. You have to learn how to tap into it, which is what Wise Wednesday was originally generated for, in order to get us to understand that it goes beyond the circumstances we see. So, we're coming up on the last break, y'all. Anybody got a phone call and they got a question or anything, please call in. It's Black Talk Radio. I don't have the number in front of me, but do call in and answer the show, because a monologue is much better than a dialogue. And Scotty, if you're ready, we'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Come this way. Is because we have to, pardon me? We have to understand that we live life on two levels. We live life internally, and we live life externally. We give most of our attention to the external part of our lives. So therefore, we begin to accept a lot of that stuff that we see or that is marketed to us as a part of life when it's not. Those are choices. We have to be truthful with our internal part of our lives at all times, because we have not been taught that. We have to understand it. It is our responsibility. Now, the difference is, that's like my wife telling you about foods. If you're not doing these extra things and you get sick based on the food, you now have affected your internal life with your external activity. See, this is what is developing now in the age of Aquarius. We are paying more attention to what is going on internally, because we don't see, I spoke to you before about objective and the subjective, we don't see where we can actually change the subjective. And that's what's going on outside. You're subjected to that because of what's going on. But internally, we can change. It is important for us to understand that we are balanced. What is balance? Balance means we're focusing on what we eat to make sure we're getting the best of whatever it is. We're focusing on the nutritional content to make sure that it provides the body what it needs. We're focusing on the liquids that go in, because water is not esoteric. Water is a necessity. And the reason why we are designed this way is because these things were freely given to us. See, to grow food and nourish our bodies. Air is freely given to us because literally it's an attribute of what it is for a spirit to live in a human body. And you're going to hear me say that many a time, because literally that's what this is here. This is a time-space experience. And as energy, you could not feel emotion, you cannot feel physical pain, you cannot feel joy. This is what this body's for. It's to expose us to these things and to see if we become inundated by it or elevate above it. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're going to have decisions. I hear people all the time saying, that was a bad decision. I should have did this or I should have did that. That only lets me know they're conscious of what it is that they wanted to do, because now that the truth, the personal truth, has risen, they can examine that decision from a different perspective, where there might have been something involved in their original decision. And a lot of people say to me, well, what do you mean something involved? Well, how many times have you seen young teens act out in an adult manner? See, that wasn't a responsible decision, because they have not matured to the level of making a decision on that level. But Western society teaches them that they can. So that's what makes us as the examples and our role so important. Because a lot of times you don't realize when somebody's watching you. All of a sudden it's like, well, you know what? I see the success that they're having. I'd like to emulate that. So before you know it, they're asking you, well, what did you do to do that? How were you able to do this? What they're doing is they're inquiring, because they see something in you that they would like to have in their own lives. So therefore, we have to see ourselves truly from an internal perspective, because then it will bring us external joy. You see, to give you an example, if a person has a bad habit and they want to break that bad habit, they can do whatever they want to do in the external world, and they'll never break that habit. Why? Because the habit now has transcended into the internal world. See, a perfect example is smoking. If a person smokes over a period of time, their body adjusts it. It adjusts to having that smoke there. So how many people you know that's quit smoking 10 times, 15 times before they finally quit? What they were doing was waking up the subconscious to realize that you're making a decision externally that your subconscious has to gravitate to in order to give you the inertia to reach your goal. And a lot of people think, well, I can get hypnotized and all that. You can. But understand what that is. It's your external to tap into a trigger to stop that habit that comes out internally. It actually is having an effect on you internally. And I'm pointing all these things out to you because I have to prepare you. Yeah, a lot of times people fail to realize the power of their thinking has a lot to do with where they are in life. And the reason being is because if you're not elevating yourself in a manner in which you can grow, you stay where you are. My wife and I, we read. My wife, she'll tell you, I go to bed early, but I'll be in that room reading, because there's things that I need to add to my life that's going to make it better, but I can't apply it immediately. So I got to get the knowledge before I can apply the knowledge. Received knowledge is only a tool when it becomes applied knowledge. Because when you apply it, you're getting the benefit of putting the time in to receive that knowledge. I wanted to get that out to you because literally there's a lot of things happening around you, and you got to focus on your internal truth so that you can get the right knowledge so that you are prepared to apply it when it is necessary. And that's when it becomes a tool tied knowledge. Erica, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, you're very true. You do have to go down into the foundation of some of what you've been taught and look forward to what the cosmos, what's coming. You know, I'm not saying that your faith changes, but you almost have to use what you consider your faith as a platform to go forward. Because a lot of times you take a lot of things for granted. I mean, I know I do, and I did, and I apologize that I did. But now this is where the rubber hits the road. And I'm not saying because we're here or because the government shut down or whatever's going on with the finances. It's just the time and space is coming together where you have to key in on that foundational truth. And we all know we have one. It's just sometimes it's sitting on back burner and you know it's there, but you feel as though, oh, I just had that for an emergency. But every day getting up, breathing, I don't want to say it's an emergency, but it's living. It's almost like don't just have a china cabinet full of china and fancy dishes and only use them once a year. Every day that you sit down with your family, that everybody is present, bring out those fancy dishes. So one of the kids drop one. So it falls off the counter. So what? It's sitting there looking pretty. Yes.
Your very, very perfect point. To segue into what I want to bring out, that you literally can demonstrate.
Oh, okay.
We have been in situations that literally were not working for us. And she'll look at me and say, what are you thinking? What do I say, Erica? I say it all the time.
I don't know. What do you say?
I got to make something happen.
Oh, yes, yes. You do say that. Yes. You got to make something happen. You have to make it happen, yes.
And listen, I engineer all of the elements that are alive around me because the every living thing gives an energy to other living things. And if you don't know how to keep your thought process focused on what you're trying to do, you can't utilize that energy. Why? Because you don't know focusing on what your problem is. We don't have a problem on that level. Why? Because I focus on how I can engineer the things that into place so the cosmos can provide for them. Now, I know this may sound strange to you, and that's why it's so important for you to have a relationship with truth in your internal self. Because when you do, you tap into all the living forces around you. And I'm going to tell you something. I go outside, I don't see nothing but green and brown. Things growing all over the place. At night, just step outside. All of this, the universe is alive. It wants to provide. But if you don't open the door so that you can access it, it will not be there for you. So you can't hit the lottery. If you think about it, I'm going to use it to hit the lottery. No, it doesn't work like that. But it does provide for you when you least expect it, when you're focused on bringing those things together in a positive way, in a manner in which can serve you and serve others. My wife would tell you, I never, never wake up in a bad mood. I don't have the time for that. I never tell people, my day was terrible. I don't have time for that. How you speak reflects the energy that you're trying to project. And I'm going to tell you now. She'll tell you, I get up in the morning, first thing I do is give her a kiss. Good morning, darling, I love you. And I keep it moving. She gets up and makes me breakfast. Give me a kiss. Good morning. I'll see you later, darling, I love you. Because we are trying to tap in and create all those forces. I want to be a part of that. And I'm telling you, it's accessible to you. But you have to do some basic things. You have to spend some time with your in self, your internal self. Because I go to bed at 9 o'clock, ask her what she does when I'm peeping in the room. I'm feeding myself with things that strengthen my internal self. And the best part about it is that I don't see problems as problems. I see problems as obstacles I have to get around. So I find my way to get around. And sometimes that takes concentration. Sometimes I have to up my meditation. But certain things I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about my nutrition. I don't have to worry about drinking water. I don't have to worry. See, those sort of things that are attributes of who you are, they all become a part of what you're trying to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I tell my wife all the time, I love being me. She'll look at me and say, I love being me. But the best part about it is that when you love yourself, it's easy to love those things that you need. And it's easier for those living things to give to you because they add to your love. I walk outside and I look at him. I love this. I'm not in the city no more. I love this. I'm really trying to get you to a place where I can really start dropping some serious seeds in. I've been doing that all along on Wise Wednesdays. If you really sit down and think about shows that I've brought to you, but we're moving into a realm of the zodiac change, and it's already started. I mentioned to you before that there was going to be a change in the authorities' perspective, and now you see more women running for politics. I also told you women would play a role in that. I'm trying to get you to see that what is about to come is not going to always be what you see on the news. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I think it's about 20, 24, 25 people who are talking about running for president now, and three or four of them are women. See, all of these changes are going to come. And there's nothing that most people can do, but they think they can. Right now, they're more scared of automation. I don't know if y'all know that, but they look at AI as being a tool, but there's a certain degree of fear. But they're not going to tell you that. And the reason why they're not going to tell you that is because they're too busy trying to instill fear in you, so that you don't want to tap into your true self. One thing about internal truth, you have control over it. Literally, with your body, you have control over that. There's breathing techniques. I want to really take you under my wing and say, this is how you do this. This is chest breathing. This is abdomen breathing. This is what they call elongated breathing. And the reason why is because all of these become tools in how you can utilize your body to engineer those things around you to your advantage. But you have to be a part of the solution and not focus on the problem. Society has a lot of problems. Westernism will not save humanity. We have to prepare those humans to save humanity. You heard Dave and I say many a times, we want to be here at the end for the restructuring, because we can't take poison and expect to turn it into medicine. You can't. Because as long as you have a little bit of poison, every time you take it, it kills you a little bit more. But we got to literally remove all of those things that are going to bring a negative seed into the camp. A lot of people are saying, well, you started the wrong time. No, I didn't. I started the perfect time, because there is more evil in the world than ever before in the time of the globe. Why? And why do you think I could say that? Because there was a time when honesty and integrity ruled the globe. 6,000 plus years. There was harmony in this marble. But when the change came through in a wave of destruction. And it started with ego. I'm going to be very clear with you. It started with ego. And then when ego began to realize that it had a force, then they were looking at the physique. And the physique was being able to say, well, look, I'm stronger than you. This brought an element of danger into every circumstance, because now a person is thinking with their mind in reference to their ego instead of with their mind in reference to harmony. It's all in the process of change. It's up to you. Do you want to be a part of what is going to be good for humanity? Because it's going to cost. Oh, it's going to cost. We are living in a time of the most destructive human beings. Our world can change the drop of a hat. And the reason being is because everything that's being developed now is looked at a weapon before it's looked at as a tool for peace. And you could see it you see it all over. But just because you see it doesn't mean that's what it's going to be. You got to work on you. And when you work on you and your children see you working on you, you give them the center to work on them. And before you know it, this becomes a transitioning that is unstoppable. Why? Because so many people are doing so many things that are not being exposed yet, that when they do start exposing them, other people are going to say, yeah, I know, I've been doing that. That worked for me too. And before you know it, we're going to change this in reverse. There's a lot of work to do. Air's poison, water's poison, ocean's poison, animals are dying at an alarming rate. We have a lot of work to do. So this transition that you see going on around us, don't think that this defines you by no means. Don't think that you have to become victimized by it. You might have to make the decision, some decisions we have. So I'm trying to say about that example thing. We've made decisions, at least put ourselves in a position to hopefully be a part of the change when it comes. Because right now we're transitioning from paternal authority, and we're going to probably move into a area of destruction before we move into an area of passivity and then a period of openness. Why? Because there's so much fear they're generating in the world right now. They think you don't see it, but you're buying into it. Even if it's not you as an individual, society is buying into it. So a lot of them are going to be victimized. You can't save them all. But don't make no mistake. Humanity the way it is cannot save humanity. But those people who grow beyond the circumstance can make change. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Ms. Davis, would you like to add anything before we sit down?
I just wanted to add that, you know, we've been planning what we're doing for a while, but it all started with one step. And some people that might be on a call might be looking at their environment and say, well, you know, I can't shut this down and move to a farm. And and maybe you can't. Maybe you're within a lease, or you purchased a home or whatever. But you can do small steps, like he said, the oneness of yourself. You can grow a little bit of herbs on your windowsill. You can conserve a little bit. You can downsize. You can start reading. You can start doing herbal remedies. You've got to start just with day one and progress to go forward. But if you do nothing, everything stays the same. If you depend on all the outside elements to be your answers, then you're not going to look past that. But we have to go internally. A lot of stuff is already in you. Some of them old recipes or remedies, or some people are mechanical. They know they can, you know, the mechanical of them comes out, the electrician, all of that is in you. And just have to settle down, take out the white noise. You know, white noise being just that sound that's always imminent, you know. I know during the day for us, we don't have the TV on because we have no power. And sometimes I'd shut the phones down, internet, whatever. You know, well, we don't have really internet like that, just from the phone, because we don't have Wi-Fi or nothing like that. I have to tether to get internet, which is fine. It's not a complaint. It's just a tool that we're using. But a lot of times just listening to the sound of the wind and the rain and smelling the air and being observant, looking at the stars and all of that, that brings you your oneness. And then you just progress further from that point on. It's not impossible. We're not doing nothing that anybody else can do. But we're just using the tools within us to build the foundation instead of the tools outside of us to build the foundation. And some days, my husband's a little more further down the road than I am. I'm not where he is. And that's okay, because I'm at my own pace. You know, he does get up every day and, oh, it's a beautiful day. And I have to work a little harder on that for whatever reason. But I'm getting through it, because I tend to, some things bother me a little more than it bothers him, but I'm learning. And I also learn from other people. He's, you know, we're not each other's only source. But inside of us is our own source from within. It's just one. It's oneness. So we've, you know, kind of did our Wednesday thing for this Wednesday. And next week, I know for me, I'd like to still talk about some downsizing, because we all need to downsize, because I really realized, even though I had already downsized, what's important and what isn't. And downsizing is a little tool and a task. And I know a lot of people who are on the call or might know folks that are within the government shutdown, they got to downsize. A lot of people go into pawn shops and they're looking around and see what they can live without. And guess what? We can live without a lot of stuff. So that's going to be some of the backdrop of what I'm going to kind of go over next week, how to do it, what not to do, what to look for. And because we all, and it isn't just downsizing the outward thing. Sometimes we got to downsize that inward thing. You know, maybe, you know, some of our friends and family got to downsize a little bit. Not saying you don't like them or you don't want them, but they just not, it was in that little inner circle. So downsizing doesn't just mean things, you know, extra clothing and stuff. It could be some of that extra baggage that you're bringing along, and it's a hindrance to you. And sometimes you don't even realize you've got 18 bags behind you, because you only got one. When you're pulling a wagon, you only have one handle, but you could have something connected to that, something connected to that, something connected to that, but you only have one handle. And guess what? If you let the handle go, it all stops. So we're, you know, that'll be the backdrop for next week. Mr. Davis can talk more about the internal damage and things you got to downsize, and I'll talk more about the physical things. How about that, Mr. Davis?
Our motto is, I don't have to know you, I love you. This is the Davis team on the Wise Wednesday. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come into your home. Thank you, Scotty. Scott, thank you, Dave. Thank you, all the people involved in the engineering in the background, hosting of the show. And most of all, keep in mind that Black Talk Radio is here for you. We need you to be here for Black Talk Radio. This is Brother Davis and Sister Davis on the Wise Wednesday, and we're out. Thank you, Scotty.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.